I'm Nicholas Snow. Thank you for listening to Promo Homo TV, the audio edition available on all major podcast platforms. Our mission? Connecting the circuitry of humanity by creating programming for LGBTQ+ everyone. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Promo Homo TV, and of course our official hashtag is Promo Homo TV. Subscribe to the official Promo Homo TV YouTube channel at youtube.com/Promo Homo TV Network, or simply search YouTube for Promo Homo TV, and our channel is likely to be the first result. Like and follow the official Nicholas Snow Facebook page at facebook.com/Nicholas.Snow, or search Facebook for Nicholas Snow, click on the Pages tab in the search results, and simply look for the verified blue check mark next to my name. For sponsorship and advertising opportunities, or to become a patron, visit patreon.com/PromoHomoTV. Finally, to see what you're missing, visit our website, promohomo.tv, where you can find everything I just talked about and even sign up for your free subscription to the Promo Homo TV Insider Newsletter. And now, on with the snow! I mean show. Welcome to the world premiere of the Nicholas Snow Show on the global launch of Promo Homo TV as it expands into a global online broadcast network with 5 different programs. I am your host, Nicholas Snow. I hope this is a history-making, a historic broadcast. In many ways it is because of the subject matter, but I hope this is just the beginning of something that becomes a very powerful platform that is in service to others. For point of reference, we are live at 11 a.m. on June 25th, Pacific Daylight Time, 2020. And on the show today, I'm so excited that I'm going to be featuring Global Pride 2020. It is a virtual event happening across the planet. It starts in New Zealand. And it is a spectacular event celebrating global pride. I'm mentioning it at the top of the show because for anyone that does not watch this entire broadcast today to meet some of the powerhouses behind the event, I want you to know that you should go to globalpride.org and you can set a reminder to see the historic stream that's available at that website, but it's streaming from Todrick Hall's official YouTube channel. So how cool is that? Since this is the first broadcast, before I introduce my panel, I just want to share some very personal thoughts and set the tone for this network and this program and my commitment to you. I just want to start off by saying Black Lives Matter. I'm not saying that to be patronizing. I'm saying that because it's a fact. And these past months, as I have been sheltering in place, knowing that I was about to expand the reach of my own personal voice dramatically, I've spent a lot of time about how I can responsibly serve the individuals and communities that are in need of a spotlight. Black Lives Matter doesn't need me individually, and I'm not here to lead. I'm here to learn, and I'm here to follow, and I'm here to understand my own relationship to systemic racism. But as I've thought about just that and my adult life as a white male, I started to reflect more on the intersectionality of all of us. Many people on my panel today are very much aware of that intersectionality because of their own direct experience. But for me, as a white male who actually lives in a gay Mecca, I have a lot fewer and different challenges than most others. So I just want to begin my network with this pledge. I am committed to creating programming that includes, celebrates, and empowers the diversity and intersectionality of all of us. In this spirit, I am taking responsibility to expand my world, which has been primarily informed by the white male experience. As I continue to take responsibility for the expansion of my own consciousness and therefore programming, I invite you, in fact, I am relying on you, to reach out to me to share your experiences, strength, and hope, empowering me to empower you to share these vitally important, life-saving, world-changing, true stories for the greatest good of all concerned. Promote Homo TV is connecting the circuitry of humanity by creating programming for LGBTQ plus everyone. So with love and gratitude, that's how I'm launching my network. And three out of the four shows that I'm launching with over the next few days specifically address Black Lives Matter. And the importance of that is not lost on me. So I'll be right back with my panel after this. Our focus today is, in fact, Global Pride 2020. As you can see on your screen, if you watch, you can watch Global Pride 2020. You can remind yourself now by going to globalpride2020.org. I am going to now welcome all of my panelists to the screen and introduce them all. So I actually am going to just introduce you in no particular order. Let me start with Christine. Christine, welcome to the show. I'd love for you to talk about where you live in the world, the organizations that you are specifically connected to, and your specific role in Global Pride.
Yeah, hello everyone. I am in Riga, Latvia, in Eastern Europe, and here back home, I'm a chair of Mosaica, an LGBTR organization in Latvia that works on a broad spectrum of issues. And for 15 years, we've been the only LGBT organization in the country, and I was one of the founders 15 years ago. So we work on everything: advocacy, community building, education, and of course, prides. And also, I'm one of the co-chairs of the Baltic Pride that takes place in relation between the Baltic capitals. It goes from Riga to Vilnius. So we have one pride between the three countries. And for the last 4 years, I am president of European Pride Organizers Association, or Europride. And through that, for the last 2, 3, 4 weeks, I'm losing count. I'm one of the three co-chairs of Global Pride 2020. And if we already talk about global pride, why not? Let's do that. As co-chairs, we are here, and we have all three of them on the call, which is amazing. As co-chairs, our job, I think, is to make sure we are truly global and react to what's happening in the world. And as Global Pride is this huge operation, it's grown into an amazing thing we didn't expect, that we don't lose focus of the big picture, And because so much grand work is happening, everyone is literally going insane. We have split the work into teams that are doing fantastic job. And we meet with these teams and with heads of national and regional pride networks. And we glue this all together into one amazing, amazing experience. But most importantly, I think our role as co-chairs, not to forget why we're doing this and just keep an eye on the big picture.
And as you say, the big picture, your picture just got small again with everyone else, but your role certainly is not small. I'm just so honored that you're here. Thank you. And let's move on to Emmanuel. Emmanuel, you're joining us today from Guadalajara. Tell me what organizations you're connected with, and you're one of the co-chairs. I'm so honored all three co-chairs are here with me today, but tell me a little bit about your role.
Thank you, Nicolas, for this space, and I'm happy to be in your first live
broadcast.
Yeah. So I am the secretariat in Guadalajara Pride. Guadalajara Pride is the pride in Guadalajara, Mexico. We also develop cultural programs during the year in this city. I am vice president of operations in InterPride. Since 2018, I am co-chairing with Christine and Natalie, the secretariat group in Global Pride, and I'm also representing Latin American Pride organizers. I am a member of a recently formed organization called OLA, which is Orgullo Latinoamérica, and we are Pride organizers from Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, from most of the countries of Latin America. And I am like also representing, let's say, well, we are very aware in Global Pride that each country needs to be included in Global Pride, but I'm here like raising the voice also from the Global South.
Well, thank you so much for being here, and I'll revisit you for some more important remarks. I'm saving you, Natalie, for last for a reason. I'm going to go to Ron here. Ron, so nice to see you. You know, we love you here in Palm Springs. We're spoiled because you are the president and CEO of Palm Springs Pride. And so we are certainly aware of your capabilities. And it's so fantastic that you're here. Tell me a little bit about your connection with so many important organizations and specifically Global Pride.
Well, I'm connected to Global Pride as the co-chair of the United States Association of Prides. And as the co-chair of that organization, serve on the secretariat. And in the formal role of the secretariat, I'm one of the co-executive producers with the primary focus and responsibility of overseeing non-Pride specific related content that will be included in the show. And the other co-producer is actually another Californian, Michelle Miao from up in San Francisco, who has been involved with the San Francisco Pride organization for 15 plus years on their board and has overseen the broadcast of their parade.
Well, it's really, once again, so wonderful that you're here. Thank you so much. Natalie, I'm bringing you to the screen. The reason I saved you for last is because of your positioning in Washington, D.C., and your perhaps much more deeply personal connection to the Black Lives Matter movement. I guess there's no perhaps about it. After the tragic killing of George Floyd and so many other terrible things that are happening, Global Pride changed gears and expanded its role, and Black Lives Matter and the importance of Black Lives Matter has become a centerpiece in a way for the event. So in addition to talking about the organizations that you're part of, and your role with Global Pride, I'd love for you to specifically address the importance of including Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to first thank you for your opening remarks about your intentionality in really representing the intersectionalities of our community. I think that's super important. For me, I'm in the Washington, D.C. area, and I'm one of the vice presidents for Capital Pride Alliance. And, you know, in D.C., we're really focused on how we can really tackle the challenges that all members of our community face. Also, one of my other roles is I'm one of the VPs with Emmanuel within InterPride, and we work with the Global Outreach and Partnerships team. So our goal is really to make sure that we are doing outreach so that we can have, you know, global representation within InterPride. And then, as stated before, I am one of the co-chairs for Global Pride. So as we started this program, we were really looking at, you know, how can we do the outreach that we need to do in order to reach the most amount of prides around the world. And as things were happening, you know, the idea was, has always been diversity and inclusion. And with the protests and the demonstrations that were happening around the world, it was really important for me as a Black woman within this organization, as being one of the leaders, that we have to address the fact that, you know, many people in our community are sitting at the intersections of lots of different communities. And for me, before I'm part of the queer community, I'm a Black woman. And we see historically that communities of color don't have the same accesses to resources. They don't have the same, they're not treated the same. There's just a number of things within communities of color that are barriers. And so it was important for me to make sure that we spoke on that. Our whole goal is to address everything that's happening within our community, and racial inequality is still very prevalent. We are a microcosm of the larger global world, and so it would be tone deaf of us not to at least center conversations around the Black Lives Matter movement, and also talking about, you know, other issues as they pertain to our community members around the world.
I think that's such an important point. As I bring in the other panelists for a group conversation, one of the things that, I think I take advantage. I live in a world that allows me to take advantage of not really paying attention to ways that I personally have intersectionality myself. But in recent interviews, I've been listening to people talking about the frustration of having to lead with a certain aspect of an intersectional identity. Natalie, you mentioned that you're Black first and foremost, before everything else. And I think it's kind of sad in a way to have to be in a position where you have to define who you are in such a complicated world, and that it's so complicated to do.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, when I step outside, the world sees me as a Black woman. And it's one of those things, like many people within the community, there's opportunities to be out or not be out. But there is no opportunity for when I walk outside this door for the world not to perceive me as a Black woman. And with that, prejudices from people arise and people make preconceived judgments. And, you know, there's this criminalization that has happened within our history of when it comes to people who with Black identity. And so we really need to pay attention to our own unconscious bias or our own, you know, perceived bias as it pertains to how we interact with each other. And we can't forget that, you know, the struggles may not be exactly the same, but if one member of our community is struggling or one section of our community is struggling, then we all are struggling. We will not be free to be who we are unless we all have the same accesses to resources and we are not demonized for who we are, whether it is part of our LGBTQ status or our racial status or our religion or things like that.
That's a very important point. And also, it speaks to the importance of global pride, because some of us live in places. Well, I suppose that the people in this chat today who have the greatest level of the freedom because of the way our world is built are the two white men who live in Palm Springs, California, with an almost all LGBTQ city council. So that is that is, and we're living in a context of great privilege. And unfortunately, we want to dismantle some of the parts of our world that inherently assign some of that privilege for us. And I'm all behind doing that. But I'd like to open it up let's start with you, Emmanuel. Why don't we start with you talking about some of the greater challenges that impact being part of the LGBT community where you are?
It's difficult because in Mexico, it depends on the city where you live and it depends on the economic situation that you have. So besides having issues for being LGBTI, an LGBTI individual because of the religious or because of the system by itself, we are facing a lot of violence, a lot of problems that are coming from in the last centuries. So besides the issue of being LGBTI in Mexico or in other countries in Latin America, you have another issues like your skin, your color of skin, your last name, the city you live, the neighborhood where you're living. So it definitely has to be with the intersectionality, the way if you are a privileged person or not. So there are a lot of in Mexico City or Guadalajara, they are like friendly cities for LGBTI people. But this does not mean that we don't face challenges. I am very worried about the violence that the country is facing right now with every person, not just with LGBTI people.
I understand completely. Christine, I wanted to go to you because you live in a part of the world, and I know some of the constituencies that you are working with are risking their lives much more so than other communities just by simply honoring themselves and being who they are. Would you like to address that a bit?
Yeah, of course, I do. And we were occupied by the Soviet Union for a long 50 years. So there's a lot of influence of that. But even when you say that you live in a community, in the place where you are safe, I think that's also not always quite the case because not everyone experiences being LGBT the same. So I don't think it's job done anywhere in the world, actually. But obviously, if we talk about countries where people lives are at risk. And here I see huge role in Pride, and especially something like Global Pride that is going to be the biggest LGBTQI online event and will reach people in places we couldn't dream reaching with any LGBTQI content. And I was born in the Soviet Union, and if you were different, you were put in a mental institution. There was no questions, there were no forms filled, there were no rights, people just disappeared. But there was nothing outside of that information space. There was silence, so we had no idea it can be different. And now I think these days, with information technology, it is different, and we can give people hope with at least a glimpse of what is possible. And I think that's the biggest thing that we can do with this event. Even if one kid, two kids in Iran will hear about Global Pride, and will hear that there are people from Iran taking part, and they will stay alive because they know they're not alone, and there are people like them, and this is the best I can hope for the Global Pride to achieve. Obviously, it's a huge goal, but even if it just reaches one person with the information, we are so lucky we can give people that hope, and it's actually all we can do is give people hope.
I agree with you, and I want to echo your sentiment that our work is far from over. And even in my own community, there are people that have a very different experience than I do. For example, they could be a teenager trapped in a family, a life, a church, a social structure that teaches them self-contempt. One of the things I want to explore in an ongoing basis in this platform is to definitely stress that really this is a global effort across so many different fronts, and that we all need to work together consistently until it's all until there's no need. And frankly, I think there still will be a need as long as any of us are still alive. I don't think we're evolving that quickly. I want to open up the conversation to each of you to sort of freely discuss what you want to talk about in terms of key points each of you want to make about the Global Pride event that's coming up. I think I'll go to Ron initially to perhaps talk about the logistics of how it's all unfolding. But I want to remind our viewers that if you go to globalpride2020.org, you can watch the entire program. And you can also right now set a reminder to watch the feed that will be generated from Todrick Hall's YouTube channel. And you can also donate. So let's go to Ron. And Ron, talk just about the logistics of how this is all coming together.
Well, we've had Pride organizations around the world were invited to participate and submit content that would really showcase what Pride is in their city, their country, and tell the story the way they want to tell the story about their Pride movement. And we've had those submissions. I think we've had close to 1,500 submissions that have come in from around the world. And the full lineup will include, almost 1,000 elements that have come in and truly is a global representation of the Pride movement, not just in big cities, but more importantly, in small cities all around the world, and in some instances, in cases where it is illegal to be LGBTQI. So the program has been made possible because Pride organizations have come together to really showcase what the movement is all about. And it is much more than just a parade and a festival. And that's what we see on the surface. But behind that, there's the Pride is a platform in all of our communities to raise awareness on the issues and advocacy that is so important to each of our communities. So all that content comes together, and it's organized in time zones to give a flavor of multiple countries in every single hour. You'll see content in multiple languages throughout the 26-hour program, and it's going to be a very diverse programming that you'll see no matter when you turn in. You'll see, book and word segments, shout outs, supportive allied politicians joining us to wish everybody well.
Thank you for that. So we have Michelle Irimia watching live. She says, "Well said, Ron." Charles says, "Very nice." One of our viewers, who's a friend of mine on Facebook, says, "Congratulations." Another friend of mine who's watching from Hollywood says, "Hey, Nicholas." Another local activist, Antonio, is cheering with a yes exclamation point. Gary is complimenting me personally. I'm not putting that on the screen. But I just want all of the viewers to know that if you make remarks to live broadcast, I can often put them in the screen. One of the things I would love to know from you today is what city and country are you watching from, and what does Global Pride mean to you? So let me go with you to you, Emmanuel. What is a key point that you would like to make that you feel is really important to make about Global Pride in this broadcast?
Well, I have not watched the 26-hour program or videos, but what I saw is that I want you to, all the viewers, to observe the messages behind the videos, the messages behind the creativity. And there are political statements, there are petitions that the communities are they want the world to hear their issues, their talent, their creativity, their knowledge, their passion. So we are going to see, I don't know if everybody is going to be able to watch the 26-hour program, but I encourage you all to observe and to hear what do the community want to tell us. And then we can, this is part of our solidarity, not only to donate. If we can donate, it is going to be very good. But we can also see what is happening in other parts of the world. I'm very happy that there are 29 countries or 29 territories represented in Global Pride. So this is truly, truly global.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. You got to love that. Natalie, I'm going to bring you on. Where are you? Here we are. Oh, now we're all three there. This is brand new for me. I'm doing this for the very first time, and I actually love this shot better. But hey, you have a fan in the house. So Ariel Torres says, Natalie, heart.
I feel so loved. Thank you for the shout out.
yes. And Edwin Ramoran says, thank you for doing what you all do. Happy Global Pride. And Edwin is a local here in Palm Springs. So thank Natalie, you. What is a key point you would like to make about Global Pride?
This is a fundraiser, and this is a fundraiser for prides around the world and also groups that are, you know, working in the LGBTQI plus space. And so if you can give a dollar, give a dollar. If you can give more, that would be absolutely great. But this is a response to what's happening around the world as it pertains to the COVID-19 crisis and as it pertains to racial injustice, as it pertains to human rights. And so this is an opportunity for us to actually support the groups out there who are doing this instrumental work to make sure that we're bringing light the issues that our LGBTQ plus community members face. And this is also to help prides to stay afloat. This is to help community resources to still have funding so they can provide the supports that they need. Pride isn't about just a parade and a festival. It really is about community resources. And so this is an opportunity for us to really show our support and show our solidarity by giving or at least promoting to other people who could potentially give. And also, as Emmanuel said, this is an opportunity for Pride organizers from around the world to tell their own stories and to tell their own stories to communities that may not have even known that a Pride existed in that space. Also, it's pretty amazing that we've had so many, well-known celebrities and politicians and change makers who have contributed to this event. And it's just really exciting to see how many people around the world who saw the merit in what we were doing and actually helped us to make this happen. And I want to give a shout out to my Global Pride team. They are magical. What they have been able to do in such a short amount of time is a miracle. And I thank them so much for all their hard work.
Well, I thank you for your hard work. And as you can see, I've put up a donate@globalpride.org message that I'll leave on for the rest of the show. I would love to, actually, I'm going to go back to Christine. What is a key point that you would like to make about Global Pride that no one else has yet made?
I think it's quite important that we'll be able to come together. Our community, our Pride movement is based on getting together, and people will come together to watch. And this will probably be my longest Zoom call in my life, watching Global Pride together with my Pride family. And I can't even describe how much I'm looking forward to that. And for the community, after months of what should have been getting together for Pride celebrations around the world, we can do that just differently than we thought. But people will be together in Global Pride with the community they've been separated from. And I think it's hugely important for the community to feel that togetherness. And I'm really happy that we can do that for people. Either they watch online on Zoom, or depending where you are, if you can safely do that, you can come for a small watch party, observing all the rules, depending wherever you are. So that gives us that sense of the community that people really need when they couldn't come together physically. That's really important for me.
That's a very key point. I just noticed that I put donate at globalpride.org, but it's actually globalpride2020.org. So I'm going to make that change right now for those of you who are still tuned in, so you can go to the right place. And 2020.org. I'm producing, directing, hosting. I'm the technical director. I'm everything all at once. There, now we have. Oops. It didn't do it. Sorry. Bear with me. Global Pride 2020. Save it and show it. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thanking myself. Is there anything any of you want to add to this broadcast that you don't think we've gotten to?
Yeah, Nicholas, I think it's important for everybody to remember that this event, there's many virtual Pride events taking place, are labeled Pride events. This is a virtual event that's global, that is by Pride organizations for Pride organizations, and it's a COBRA or a COVID-19 relief program. And not only do we have big stars participating, we have the front line advocates in communities around the world coming to this program to tell their story. So it's really exciting to have that. And we're on YouTube on two channels, the Todrick Hall channel, the iHeartRadio YouTube channel, and we also will broadcast the stream through Facebook and Reverie. And by doing that, we're reaching 110 countries around the world. And that is so important because more than 500 Pride events around the world have been canceled. So today, or this weekend, Global Pride is bringing the Pride event to all those cities in 110 different countries. So it's a very exciting time.
That's amazing. Congratulations to all of you. Anyone else have another point that you feel we should make? I did, by the way, add, you can donate at globalpride2020.org. If you go to globalpride2020.org/watch, you can find the specific description of all the hours of programming that are starting in New Zealand, and would be the last one be Hawaii? Where's the last broadcast?
It's just a mix of everything, highlights from all over the world.
A mix of everything. Anyone else have anything that you wanted to add?
Yeah. I'll add maybe one thing for everyone who will be watching. Oops. No one's ever done this before. We're learning while we're doing. There are 110 countries, 500 prides that were brought together. So something will probably go wrong, but that's as with real prides in real life, things go wrong and we still have an amazing time. So we are learning while doing this. This is going to be great experience for everyone. So please come and watch.
Yeah. I just want to, someone else?
I just wanted to second what Christine said. You know, this was a group of volunteers that came together and decided, you know, we should do something. And just like Christine mentioned, you know, we have tried to dot every I, cross every T, but, you know, we're putting something out there and technical difficulties could happen and a number of things could happen. So just bear with this as you're watching. And, you know, if it's not working on one platform, you can go to another. And we have an amazing team. But just remember, this is a grassroots effort, and all of us took all of our volunteer time to make this happen. And, you know, this is the first time it's happened. And so we welcome any suggestions for potential future events. And so we can have this grow and we can continue to bring the global LGBTQ+ community together.
I'm so deeply honored that all of you took time out of one of perhaps the busiest weeks of your life to be with me on this launch of the Promo Homo TV network. I just couldn't be more honored. So I want to thank you all so much.
Thank you very much for having us.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
If you want to stick around to talk to me briefly after the show, you can. I'm going to wrap it up soon, but you don't have to. I do want to thank all of you for being here. And once again, for those of you who have been watching, go to globalpride2020.org so you can hit remind me. There's a remind me link to watch the broadcast. If you go to globalpride2020.org/watch, you can see the very specific lineup. This is a fundraiser, and there is a prominent fundraising link at the site. And I just want to add two more comments. So Ariel Torres says, Lehigh Valley Pride in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Thanks you all. And Kathy Renna, my great colleague in activism in New York, and she's worked hard on Global Pride as well, says, thanks to all the people who helped make this happen. The vast majority are volunteers. I personally am incredibly moved by everybody's participation. I haven't been giving you a tour of the Promo Homo TV website, but you can go there and give that tour to yourself. And I just want to thank you so much for watching. And until next time, I'm Nicholas Snow.